Onto the use by an employee of an asset owned by his employer. Here, for example, an employer is lending an asset. In this case, it is a painting, to one of his employees. This will give rise to a taxable benefit. Note that the employer is allowing the employee to use the asset. Ownership of the asset remains with the employer and does not transfer to the employee. The way we calculate the cash equivalent is essentially quite straightforward. The benefit in kind in this instance is the higher of the annual value of the use of the asset or the sums paid by the employer in providing the asset by way of rent or hire charge. The annual value referred to above is 20% of the market value of the asset at the time it was first made available to the employee. As always, if the employee makes a contribution, i.e. he pays some sort of rent to the employer for the use of the asset, we can knock this off to arrive at the taxable cash equivalent. If the asset is lent to the employee part way through the year, having calculated the basic cash equivalent, we must then apportion this for the number of months in the year in which the employee had use of the asset. This rule will often apply in relation to furniture provided by the employer in living accommodation made available to the employee. We have looked at the way we calculate the benefit when an employer allows an employee to occupy living accommodation. If the employer also furnishes that accommodation, the employee will be using furniture owned by an employer. The benefit will be 20% of the value of the furniture provided. Because the asset remains the property of the employer, at some point the employee will be required to give it back. If the employee doesn't return the asset to the employer, i.e. the employer allows the employee to keep the asset, there will be a taxable benefit on this change in ownership. So in our previous example, the lending of the painting to the employee gives rise to a benefit which here we have called benefit number one. If the employer subsequently allows the employee to keep the asset, this transfer will give rise to a separate benefit, which we have called benefit number two. To calculate the benefit on the transfer of an asset by an employer to an employee, we use a different set of rules. The benefit will be the higher of two numbers. The first is the market value of the asset at the date it was transferred to the employee. We have called this benefit A. We compare this with the market value of the asset at the date it was originally lent to the employee. And from this figure, we deduct any amounts which have been charged to tax in respect of the employee's use of the asset. This will give us an alternative figure, which we have called B. The revenue will take whichever is the higher of A or B, and will tax this figure less any payments made by the employee to the employer for the transfer of the asset. This can be a little tricky, so let's run through an example. An employer lends an asset, here it is a painting, to an employee. The employee has use of the asset from the 1st of January 2008, and at this date the painting was worth £100,000. So for the tax year 2007-08, that is, the tax year in which the painting was first lent to the employee, the taxable benefit for the use of the asset will be £100,000 multiplied by 20%, then multiplied by 3 over 12. We need to apportion in this way because the employee only had use of the asset from the 1st of January. This gives a benefit for 2007-08 of £5,000. The benefit for 2008-09, assuming the employee has use of the painting for the whole year, will be £100,000 multiplied by 20%, giving us £20,000. The same benefit, i.e. £20,000, will apply in 2009-10. On the 30th of September 2010, the employer allows the employee to keep the painting. So at this date, ownership of the asset legally passes to the employee. This transfer will give rise to a separate benefit in 2010-11. The painting needs to be valued at this date, and we are told that in September 2010, it is worth £40,000. The first thing we need to recognise is that for the period from the 6th of April 2010 until the date of transfer, the 30th of September 2010, the employee was using an asset owned by his employer. The benefit for this use of the asset will be £100,000 multiplied by 20% multiplied by 6 over 12, i.e. for 6 months of the year. This gives us a benefit for 2010-11 of £10,000. There is an additional benefit in this year when the asset is transferred to the employee. The starting point here is the market value of the asset at the date of transfer, which we know to be £40,000. We compare this with the original market value of the painting, which is £100,000, less any amounts already charged to tax in respect of the employee's use of the asset. The amounts already charged to tax are the numbers within the red box on your screen, i.e. £5,000 plus £20,000 plus £20,000 plus £10,000, totalling £55,000. So original market value, less amounts already charged, gives us an alternative benefit of £45,000. The revenue will compare this to the first benefit we calculated. Here it is £40,000. And take the higher figure. This is therefore £45,000. This is the benefit on the transfer of the asset on the 30th of September 2010. If we think about the total taxable benefit for the tax year 2010-11, we take the £45,000 and add on the £10,000 being the benefit for the use of the asset in the first 6 months of the tax year. The total taxable benefit will therefore be £55,000. There are one or two further points to note with regard to an employee's use of assets. The previous rules on transfer do not apply when assets such as cars or houses are given to employees. So, where an employee has use of a company car, and at a later date that car is transferred over to the employee, the benefit is the market value of the car at the date of the transfer, minus any payments made by the employee for the transfer of the car. The rules regarding amounts previously charged to tax do not apply here. You may come across this arrangement as part of a termination agreement. For example, if an employee is made redundant, to soften the blow, the employer may allow the ex-employee to keep his company car. If computer equipment is lent by an employer to an employee, and the employee uses that equipment for private purposes, this will give rise to a taxable benefit. The benefit is calculated using the 20% rule, which we have just looked at. Computer equipment includes printers, scanners, modems, and other similar devices, as well as the right to use computer software. It does not, however, include access to or the use of public electronic communications, for example, line rental to facilitate the use of the internet. BlackBerries have now been classified as computer equipment. They used to be regarded as mobile phones. For computer equipment made available to an employee on or before the 5th of April 2006, the first £500 of the benefit is exempt from tax. The benefit in excess of £500 is taxable. Therefore, if an employer had a computer worth £2,500 and this was lent to an employee to use privately, the benefit was 20% of the £2,500 being £500. This benefit would then have been completely exempt from tax. A tax charge, therefore, only arose where the cost of equipment exceeded £2,500. It is common in practice for an employer to allow an employee to use a desktop or laptop for some private purposes. The £500 rule meant that most employees were unlikely to have a benefit in respect of their incidental private use. If the computer is subsequently transferred to the employee, the benefit is calculated by using the market value of the computer at the date of transfer. We do not use the original cost calculation as we do for other assets. The £500 exemption has been removed with effect from the 6th of April 2006. However, the £500 exemption continues to be available for employees who had been provided with computer equipment before the 6th of April 2006. In effect, the exemption is only removed where computer equipment is first made available to the employee on or after the 6th of April 2006. If computer equipment is provided to an employee solely for business use, there is no taxable benefit. In this instance, the £500 exemption is not relevant. A more difficult issue arises when an employee uses the computer equipment partly for business and partly for non-business purposes. In this instance, the tax treatment depends on when the computer was first made available to the employee. To calculate the annual benefit, we apply the following steps. If the computer was first made available before the 6th of April 2006, first we calculate the benefit using the 20% rule. Next, we deduct £500. Finally, we deduct the business proportion to leave us with the taxable benefit. If the computer was first made available after the 5th of April 2006, the calculation is a little simpler. Here there are two steps. First, we calculate the benefit using the 20% rule. Then we deduct the business proportion to leave us with the taxable benefit. The £500 deduction is not available. Let's run through a numerical example. Chancery Limited provides James, an employee, with a desktop computer, with printer, scanner, and integrated software. The package cost the company £8,000. James works from home and uses the equipment 70% of the time for business purposes. We will first assume that the equipment was provided to James on the 31st of March 2006. The 2010-11 taxable benefit will be as follows. We start by calculating the taxable benefit using the 20% rules. 20% of £8,000 is £1,600. Next, we deduct £500 as the computer was made available before April 2006. The excess benefit is now £1,100. James uses the computer 70% of the time for the purposes of his job. We therefore remove 70% of the £1,100 to leave James with a taxable benefit of £330. Assuming his business use remains the same, he will have this same benefit in future tax years as well. Contrast this with the position if James was first given use of the computer on the 7th of April 2006, i.e. after the removal of the £500 exemption. Again, we start by calculating the taxable benefit using the 20% rule. 20% of £8,000 is £1,600. This time, we do not deduct the £500 exemption. James uses the computer 70% of the time for business purposes. So we take away 70% of the £1,600 to leave James with a taxable benefit of £480. No liability to tax will arise where the reason for supplying the equipment is to enable the employee to perform the duties of the employment, and the employee's private use of an employer's asset is not significant. There is no statutory definition of what is significant. HMRC, in their employment manual, will accept that no taxable benefit arises where the employer's policy concerning private use of computers is clearly stated to employees, setting out circumstances where occasional private use can be made, and a decision of the employer not to recover the cost of employees' private use is a commercial decision taken because the administrative costs of doing so would exceed the amounts involved. Therefore, even with the partial removal of the £500 exemption, employers who have a stated policy permitting incidental private use of computer equipment should not need to disclose taxable benefits on employees' P11Ds. As usual, let's have a go at a couple of practice questions.
We will first calculate Ron's taxable benefit using the average method. He borrowed £50,000 from his employer on the 1st of May 2010. He then borrowed a further £40,000 later on in the year. So the loan outstanding at the end of the year is £90,000. Add these together and divide by 2 to give an average loan of £70,000. We multiply this by the official interest rate of 4%, and then have to multiply this by 11 over 12 to reflect the fact that the loan was only available to Ron for 11 months of the tax year. This gives a benefit using the average method of £2,567. We then compare this with the result using the strict method. Ron has borrowed £50,000 for 3 months of the year, i.e. for May, June and July. He borrowed an extra £40,000 on the 1st of August. So his total borrowings are £90,000 for the remaining 8 months of the year. If we add these together, the strict method gives us a taxable benefit of £2,900. HMRC has the right to insist on the strict basis if it produces a substantially higher result. Leslie borrows an asset from her employer on the 30th of September 2009. So the benefit for 2009-10 will be the market value multiplied by 20% multiplied by 6/12, giving us £80. On the 1st of July 2010, ownership of the equipment passed to Leslie. This means that for 3 months of the tax year, Leslie has a benefit for the use of the asset, being £800 times 20% times 3/12, being £40. There is a separate benefit on the transfer of the equipment. This is the higher of the market value at the date of transfer, which is £450, and the original market value of £800. Less amounts previously charged to tax. Amounts already taxed in respect of Leslie's use of the asset is £120, being the £80 plus the £40, giving a benefit on transfer of £680. We take the higher of these two figures, which is £680. We are asked for Leslie's taxable benefit for 2010-11. This will be the £40 for the use of the asset plus £680 on the transfer of the asset. We are also told in the question that Leslie pays £200 for the equipment, so we need to deduct this employee contribution to give us a taxable benefit for the year of £520. The correct answer is therefore answer D. This concludes this module on loans to employees and use of assets.